Good morning, everyone. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to present maternal depressive symptoms and parenting practices 3 months postpartum. I have no relationships to disclose. Screening positive for depressive symptoms occurs up to 50% of postpartum women. Prevalence rates vary from 10 to 50% based on the screening instrument used and the population studied. Postpartum depressive symptoms are especially problematic for low-income women of color. It is associated with negative consequences for mothers, babies, and families, and negatively impacts parenting. Parenting practices are extremely important in healthy child development, some of which include safety practices. In fact, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends the back sleep position, rear-facing car seats from infant to 2 years of age, and greater than or equal to one well-child visit by 1 month of age. Lastly, Healthy People 2020 recommends exclusive breastfeeding. However, maternal depressive symptoms are associated with negative safety practices. For example, not using a car seat, the back sleep position, and a smoke alarm. It is also associated with poor infant feeding, including not breastfeeding and the early introduction of water, juice, and cereal. In addition, maternal depressive symptoms are also associated with less developmental behaviors. For example, not playing or showing or talking or reading books and following routines with the baby. Mothers with depressive symptoms are less likely to take their infant for well child care and more likely to take their infant to the emergency room. However, parenting practices among a racially or ethnically diverse population are less studied. The study objective for this was to assess the association between postpartum depressive symptoms and early parenting practices among a racially, ethnically diverse group of mothers. We included data from two randomized control trials entitled Mothers Avoiding Depression Through Empowerment Intervention Trial, aimed at preventing postpartum depression. MADEIT is a behavioral educational intervention, again, to prevent postpartum depressive symptoms. The intervention consisted of a two-part education session conducted by a bilingual social worker. The first part of the intervention occurred at the bedside, and then at 2 weeks postpartum, a needs assessment was conducted over the telephone. Mothers were educated on the physical and emotional symptoms postpartum, also about infant colic and the importance of social support. Mothers and fathers received an education pamphlet and a partner summary sheet in the hospital about the postpartum signs and symptoms. And this intervention was based on a previous study of 724 women that was also enrolled at Mount Sinai. Mothers were surveyed in the hospital 3 weeks, 3 months, and 6 months postpartum. Our retention rates are quite remarkable. Approximately 78% of all mothers enrolled in the trial completed the 6 month survey. For this analysis, we looked at the baseline survey and mothers who also had completed the 3 month postpartum study or survey. Our primary outcome for this study was to looking at parenting practices in four domains: safety practices, feeding practices, developmental practices, and healthcare practices. Other items in the survey included demographics, clinical factors, the Edinburgh Postnatal Depression Scale. The EPDS, for short, is a 10-item scale that is the most widely used postpartum depression screen, used postpartum, and it is validated in multiple languages. An EPDS score greater than or equal to 10 indicates a possible depression. The survey also included healthcare utilization. We included mothers who delivered at Mount Sinai Hospital, which is located in New York City. Mothers were 18 years of older, delivered an infant weighing greater than or equal to 2,500 grams, with a 5-minute APGAR score greater than 6. APGAR is a standard tool in assessing newborn babies' well-being. Mothers also had to have a working telephone, and they spoke either English or Spanish. Women were identified through the Mount Sinai labor and delivery log. There were 1,080 mothers who were enrolled in the trial, and the analysis that we're presenting is those mothers who completed the baseline and the three-month survey. So it's 88% of the total enrolled in the trial. We conducted cross-sectional analyses at 3 months postpartum and bivariate and multivariable analyses investigating the association between parenting practices with demographic, clinical variables, and depressive symptoms. Our population studied was very diverse. The mean age was 30. 50% were Latina or Black. 11% were primary Spanish-speaking. 30% of women were foreign-born. And 30% of mothers had returned to work at 3 months postpartum. Here are additional three-month characteristics. 18% of women had a comorbid condition. Comorbid conditions included, for example, hypertension and diabetes. And 22% of women experienced a pregnancy complication, those including gestational diabetes and high blood pressure or preeclampsia. 19% of women had a past history of depression, and 8% of the women at 3 months had a score greater than or equal to 10 on the EPDS. Here are the overall safety and feeding practices 3 months postpartum. 77% of all women put their baby to sleep on the back. 83% always used a car seat. 95% of women had a smoke alarm in the house. 63% were breastfeeding. And 1 out of 4 introduced water, juice, or cereal at 3 months. Here are some of the overall developmental and healthcare practices. Many played with their baby every day, whereas approximately 1 out of 4 showed a book or read a book to their baby every day. Mothers were more likely to follow a bedtime routine. Almost all women had taken their baby for 3 or more well-child visits, whereas almost 1 out of 5 had taken their baby to the emergency room by 3 months postpartum. Next, we asked, what is the association between parenting practices and 3 months postpartum depression? Depressed mothers were less likely than non-depressed mothers to have their infants use the back sleep position, 62% versus 79%. Likewise, depressed mothers were less likely to always use a car seat, 68% versus 84%. And they were also less likely to have a working smoke alarm in the home, 88% versus 97%. All these differences were statistically significant. Depressed mothers were more likely to introduce water, juice, or cereal, 36% versus 25%. This was also statistically significant. Depressed mothers were less likely to play with their baby, 93% versus 98%, than non-depressed mothers. This was also statistically significant. There is no statistical significant difference in developmental practices and depressive symptoms. Depressed mothers were more likely to have taken their baby to the emergency room at least one time in the last 3 months, 26% versus 16%, and this was also statistically significant. Next, I present adjusted odds ratios for parenting practices for mothers with depression versus mothers without depression. After controlling for demographic and clinical factors, see the list below, we found that depressed mothers remained significantly less likely to use recommended safety practices. Mothers with depression had an adjusted odds ratio of 0.42, a 95% confidence interval of 0.24 to 0.72, or a 58% reduced odds to have their infant use the back sleep position, and similarly to always use a car seat. Mothers with depressive symptoms also had an adjusted odds ratio of 0.25 with a 95% confidence interval of 0.11 to 0.58, or 75% reduced odds of having a working smoke alarm in their home. Second, after controlling for demographic and clinical factors and adjusted odds ratios, there was not a statistically significant difference among depressed mothers versus non-depressed mothers in breastfeeding or their introduction of water, juice, or cereal. This was also true for the developmental practices. Depressed mothers and non-depressed mothers did not statistically differ in showing or reading books, as well as with bedtime routines. This was also true for healthcare practices. There is no statistical significant difference. In conclusion, our findings suggest that maternal depressive symptoms are associated with negative safety practices. Our findings support existing literature linking maternal depressive symptoms to impaired parenting practices. We had several strengths. Our parenting practices were measured in a racially, ethnically diverse sample, and we were able to collect many sociodemographic and clinical characteristics in this urban setting. Our limitations are that the parenting practices were measured by self-report and may be distorted by mothers with depressive symptoms. In addition, the prevalence of postpartum depression was 8%. This is lower than research and national estimates. Our implications are that findings suggest that the need for universal screening of postpartum depressive symptoms by OB-GYNs and or pediatricians. Our study findings highlight the need to intervene early among mothers with depressive symptoms and to provide tailored referrals and to reinforce parenting practices, especially for safety practices. And I'd like to thank the MADEIT team, several of which are in the audience today, Dr. Elizabeth Howell, Ms. Rennie Negron, and Anika Martin. Thank you.
Two different ways that people assess depression. One is by a written survey, and the other is by a combination of a written survey and clinical examination.
Yeah.
It's not quite clear what the differences are in terms of whether the concordance. I'm in the state health department. I do survey research. I don't have the option of having a clinical exam. It would be really useful if, as you go along this route and look at this more, if you were able to combine them, because we know that when there's a clinical exam combined with an Edinburgh, the prevalence goes down by 20, 25, 30%. And I'm sure in some ways it's not an unbiased group. There are certain people who report the depressive symptoms and that clinically we find either are discordant with their survey results. It would be really useful in the future if you could combine them. I know it takes a lot of extra resources and finding some side pressure.
That's a great question. We actually evaluated patients in the hospital prior to discharge. If mothers scored greater than or equal to 13 on the EPDS or greater than or equal to 20 on the patient health care PHQ-9, they were evaluated by our psychiatrist on the study to make sure that they were safe to be discharged home with their baby. In addition, at our follow-up surveys, if moms also scored positive for depressive symptoms or positive on the SI questions, they were referred by our psychiatrist to referrals in the community. If they were acute, they were also seen in the hospital or brought into the emergency room and evaluated by our team. It was very close to being statistically significant. Depressed mothers were less likely to continue breastfeeding, but it was found not to be statistically significant overall. But there were racial disparities in breastfeeding continuation rates. 3 months at the safety practices and parenting practices, but we have longitudinal data to 6 months.